This is WNYC. I'm Amy Eddings. Far from the glassy towers of the World Trade Center site in Lower Manhattan, some interesting smaller buildings have sprouted up in the city. They include a recycling facility in Brooklyn and an ambulance dispatch center in the Bronx. Architecture critic James Russell says they are among the least noticed public buildings, but they could have a very long-lasting effect. He joins us now. Welcome back to WNYC, James.
Happy to be here.
These are mostly small community buildings. What makes them special to you, and how are they changing their neighborhoods?
It's easy to overlook facilities like this, but they can have a real revitalizing function in neighborhoods, especially because for decades we built them kind of like fortresses with barred windows, a lot of chain link fencing. And that has really changed over the last decade or so. And some of these buildings really are inviting. They really make a statement in neighborhoods, many of which really could use a little boost.
So when you're talking about the effect on the public, it goes beyond their intended use, like recycling or like the saving of lives with an ambulance dispatch center.
Right. They do different things. The recycling center is what, for example, is what's called a LULU, a locally undesirable land use. People don't want them in their neighborhood. And so the focus on design there has been actually to invite the public in to look at how it works and what it does.
This is Sims Metal Management's
right.
recycling facility that just opened in December. I got a chance to see it in Sunset Park.
Right, exactly.
What is it about the design of the recycling center that you like?
The architect Annabel Seldorf was working with a company, the engineering company that built the structure. They didn't understand what architecture's for. And so she said they had arguments about the arrangement of the vents on the side of the building. She wanted them to be neat and arranged and the same distance apart. And they said, well, why? So there's a lot of that kind of negotiation to make something that's inviting to a community. Part of that agenda is to make them acceptable to neighborhoods. Libraries can have a real revitalizing function. So I was very pleased to see Mariners Harbor Library. Actually, they claim the first new library in the whole system on the northern tip of Staten Island. Very welcoming, very glassy and open. It's got a big skylight that pours light inside of it.
Also on your list is that ambulance dispatch center I mentioned. It's on Zarega Avenue in the Bronx. Tell me about that one.
People like the idea of ambulances, but maybe they don't like the idea of these things running up and down the streets, making a lot of noise. And so part of what this is, it's kind of a little bit of a tough industrial-looking building itself, but it kind of makes a positive statement about, you know, the idea of that these are people running out to help us. And it's very small, very simple, very functional, but still it kind of glows at night in a very nice way in a neighborhood that's kind of emptied out looking, I think, a lot of the time.
You also name a park in Queens as the most joyful, stunning addition to New York City's parks. Tell me about Hunters Point South Park.
There's plenty of competition for really nice parks in the city. We've really built a lot. This one I just thought was really uniquely beautiful. The architect Weiss Manfredi built a really lovely pavilion that comes out in a big curve that rises up and frames, you know, one of the most gorgeous vistas of Manhattan you'll find. But there's a lot of subtleties introduced by the landscape architect Thomas Balsley. Like, since it had been a place that barges unloaded, he put the railroad tracks that had once been there back there, but as ways of demarcating planting areas. Just little subtle touches all over this park make it really special.
There's an interesting visitor center on your list. What's the Weeksville Heritage Center in Brooklyn like?
It's a little collection of houses that date from the decades after slavery ended in New York State and then, of course, after the Civil War. So the architects Caples Jefferson built a kind of L-shaped interpretive center that it really needs because these houses are tiny. Weeksville's actually a neighborhood next to Crown Heights. It's a little bit hard to find, which is one of the reasons, or it's not hard to find, it's not a big name neighborhood. And that's one of the reasons that it can do something rather important here. But the Interpretive Center is not officially open because they need a new executive director. Mm. It does point out a pitfall that Weeksville and some of these other facilities have to raise their own operating money.
What does it mean for the cost of a building to bring this kind of design aesthetic to it?
Certainly it's more expensive than the cinder block box. But most of them are pretty tough cost-wise, at least within the bureaucracy of New York City, which tends to make buildings expensive no matter what they are. But I think the long-term benefits is what people are looking at. They make neighborhoods feel safer. They invite people to use their neighborhoods. They invite people to use these facilities. You know, if you open a library and nobody comes, you really haven't accomplished much. This is how they pay off.
James Russell is an architecture critic who writes for several publications, including Bloomberg News. He's also the author of The Agile City, Building Well-Being and Wealth in an Era of Climate Change. Thanks so much for joining us.
I was very happy to do it.
This is WNYC.